Because everything seems to be upside down. And how precious the way the truth, the life, matters. To be able to penetrate this present darkness that we live in. We live in a world that is its glory is its shame. The concern I have for my family and for you is that we not harden our hearts. There's so much evil in the world. There's so many things that go on that are difficult that, you know, it's given me a fuller appreciation of who Jesus was. I'm going to be referring to a passage of Scripture, and you can turn there if you like. It's in John 6:26, and it's a series of encounters that were sandwiched between two of the most amazing miracles that Jesus performed, which was feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000, and those numbers were extrapolated based on men, and there were women and children that were there too, so it's probably presumed that there were as many as 20,000 people in each of those scenarios. What is astonishing to me is that people still didn't get it. You know, they didn't get it. They liked the miracles, certainly. They got food. They satisfied their hunger on a certain level. But the reality is that they didn't get it. In fact, they wanted to take Jesus and make him king after the first occurrence. Sensing that, he decided that he needed to leave. And he went to the mountains, and he prayed. And while he was praying, the apostles got in a boat to go back over to Capernaum. And in the process, they encountered strong winds. And during that particular time, Jesus saw them from where he was. Now, how he saw them from such a far away, I don't know. But he noticed their predicament, that they were rowing hard, couldn't get to where they wanted to be. So he decides to walk out. And when that happened, they saw him, and it just flipped them out. They had no idea of what was transpiring before them. And he climbed in the boat. He says, take heart, I am, or it is I. And they just, I think at that point in time was when the reality of this person, who is this man? Who is he? Even the winds and the water obey him. They were absolutely, it threw them a curve that they just couldn't wrap their minds around. But, you know, the thing about that story is that's us, too. I think there are a lot of things that happen in our lives that get our attention for a moment, and then we quickly get distracted by some other activity in life, whether it's a job or a family member or any number of different things. It competes for us to be able to see the truth in the way and the light in a way that is manifest and gives glory to God. And the thing that is even more remarkable about this story is that when Jesus went to the other side of the lake, the crowds that were at the desolate part over, I believe it was near the Decapolis, somewhere in that region, followed him over there because they wanted more food. And Jesus took the opportunity to say some of the things that I thought were pretty astonishing. He says, and this is, I'm going to skip down to John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That's a profound reality. I mean, you think about that. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on that day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. What a staggering truth that is, to be confronted with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, supernatural being, who fed 5,000 people, fed 4,000 people, sent his apostles out prior to that on a mission to heal people, cast out demons, and there were still people that doubted, including his own apostles. Then he challenges, unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part of me. Now, that's always been a troublesome passage of Scripture. Back then, it is today, too, because if you think about it, what is he trying to say here? And I think that that's where we have to listen to what God is trying to teach us. God spoke the universe into existence. Jesus spoke to Lazarus, and he came out of a cave, out of death. You know, there's something about the Word of God that is profoundly powerful, but we have the opportunity to respond with a tender heart or with a hard heart. In Jeremiah, or actually in Deuteronomy, there's a reference to how people were saved back then. And where they were saved was that God came in and circumcised their hearts. They made their hearts from being stone-like to being soft and tender. And the same application is here, too, for those who listen to God. God is calling you, but we have the responsibility of trying to listen and perceive and understand and beg God. And I am just amazed how Jesus is patient with all of us. You know, the fact that people rejected him on many of those occasions and walked away, stopped following him. It gives me hope because I realize that, you know, many years ago, and even still today, I was futile in my thinking, darkened in my understanding, not loving people, loving myself, doing things that would make me feel good individually. And today we get to celebrate as brothers and sisters in Christ this opportunity to share in the communion, to share the body and the blood of Jesus Christ and the power that comes from that and the opportunity that we have to live an eternal life, not a temporal life. He's not promising us, you know, fast cars and beach houses, although that may happen. If it does, it's probably going to be a distraction rather than a blessing. But anyway, I want to share with you that this is an opportunity to be grateful for what Jesus Christ did. He is the living Word. He came down here. He called us out of a dying world. And we have the opportunity to be a reflection of that light in our own lives with friends and family. Yesterday was such a great example of that, too, with so many wonderful people that gave tribute to our brother Tom Werner. I met him. The first time I met him was the last time I did a communion, which was about 2 years ago, as a matter of fact. But he came. He's one of the first people came up and he encouraged me, and I just thought, wow, I've never seen this guy before. And, you know, looked kind of rough, but I was okay with that. It didn't bother me. But there's something special of that man because he's authentic, and that's one of the things that we have is that our authenticity is that we can speak the truth in love, that we can. We're not ashamed to talk about our sinful natures with people. And that's kind of a disarming kind of a thing, actually. It's attractive because most people in the world don't do that. Most people are shut down. They're trying to hide what their problems are. But we have an opportunity to feel free from those kinds of sins. We've learned the love of Jesus Christ. We've been able to benefit from his intervention on our behalf on a regular basis. So we have something special here, and I want to say thank you to all of you, because you all, as collectively, are making a big impression on people that you know and don't know who come here as visitors, and for me, too, because it helps my heart to see what other people are doing, and it's a real blessing to be a part of a congregation like this. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the light. God, thank you for lighting up our lives. Help us to open our hearts. Help us to see lonely, lost people in this desperate world, which is so much more magnified today than any other time I can recall. Father, I pray that you help us to cherish what we have in Jesus Christ. Help us to cherish you, for you called us out of the world, and we responded, and we're grateful to you for that. Help us, God, not to be unbelievers. Help us with our struggles in our lives, even through difficulty. Thank you, Father, for the leaders here in this congregation, for the many people who demonstrate through their lives every day their appreciation for you. We pray now for this time to take the bread and the cup, give glory to you and to Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.